you know, Paulie will like this. I did cook the big bowl of pasta the day before, so it's
good
like
man.
it's like a trough.
Well,
in my I've been feeding off of that, and I will continue to do so for the rest of the week.
So, Maddie, here's the good news, and that's a great move. It's a gangster move. I support it. But a lot of times, like the second day, is actually you're going to get a lot more flavor. Because as it sits overnight,
well,
like
it depends on what is gravy or sauce.
Well, let's break
it
down. So, what are we talking? Are we talking linguine? Are we talking penne? Like, what kind of pasta are we looking at here?
Oh, we went with a very thick, like a macaroni almost. You know, and it was a big sauce. I mean, we're talking. I used three different tomatoes.
Okay.
A little bit of parsley. I augmented it with some tomato paste. I did, of course, the garlic and the olive oil.
Wow.
Et cetera, et cetera. So you're absolutely right. This was a pasta that was better on day two, and it's probably going to be even better on day three after all of it kind of sinks into the thick pasta.
I'm proud of you, Maddie. And I got to tell you, I've got so much respect for you, Murph. I'm not the least bit surprised. Maddie knows his way around the kitchen.
Wait, did I distinctly notice a lack of meat in there? There's no pork or beef in this?
No, there's no pork or beef in it. This is vegetarian, but I had some other things on the side that satisfied the protein needs.
Fantastic.
Of a Matt Barrows.
Absolutely fantastic.
Also, I am just sitting around all day. So
no, I feel you, Maddie. I know.
I need a ton of energy. Yeah.
Well, you're a lean man. You can afford to eat these things. All right, man. Huge day. What's the biggest story, just in sizzle? History impact.
Well, it's Hargrave, and it's this idea. I mean, if you're ever wondering, okay, where are the 49ers going to use their free agency money, or where are they going to use their draft pick? You know, 9 times out of 10, if you bet on the defensive line, you're going to be right. And you know, that was sort of ironically given how much attention they pay to the line. They talk up their line. That was the weakness, really, on the defense last year. It wasn't as good of a line as they've had in previous years, and a lot of that was due to injury. Eric Armstead was out for a big chunk of the season. Javon Kinlaw never really got into form until the very end. They really never had that edge bookend to Nick Bosa, and Bosa was spectacular. Everyone else was okay, so this has been the focus in free agency, and I think it'll continue to be the focus when the draft begins as well. And Hargrave is really interesting. I just jotted down a couple of things. Number one, his teams have played 122 games since he came into the league in 2016. He's played in 119 of those, so he's been very, very durable, and durability is everything, and especially to the 49ers, who have lacked that durability in a lot of key spots. The other thing that jumps out to me is that during the combine in 2016, he was 6'1", 309 pounds, and his 10-yard split in the 40 was 1.57 seconds. That's something that Chris Kocurek looks at very closely, because it tells you how explosive this guy is, how quickly he gets off the line of scrimmage. So that number at 309 pounds, I'll just give you a comparison. That's similar to what Nick Bosa's 10-yard split was, and Bosa was something like 40 pounds lighter than him. So this is a guy that fires off the line exactly the way the 49ers want, and he makes plays in the backfield. A lot of sacks, a lot of tackles for loss. This is the prototypical defensive tackle for the San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, so much to love. So my only question is financial, and this is the worst part, like exactly 0.0 of us became sports fans for this question, but financially, how does it work? Like, for example, the dumb question would be, oh, now can they not re-sign Nick Bosa? Or, oh, now can they not get anything else? Or, oh, now can they, I mean, what does this do? How does this hamstring them, if at all?
Well, this year it probably doesn't hamstring them much, because his cap hit for 2023 is fairly low for a frontline starter like that. It's a little over $6 million. So they still do have some room. You know, they also signed Sam Darnold. That wasn't a cheap deal. A couple of small ones with Kevin Givens and Tashaun Gibson. Right now, they're sitting at $2.3 million under the cap. And that's not a lot. I mean, that's not enough to sign Robbie Gould. You need double that to sign Robbie Gould. So, you know, they're outstanding. The thing that they still have to do, they don't have a center right now. They don't have a kicker right now. They could still use that bookend to Nick Bosa that I mentioned. And they could probably use a veteran cornerback, too, now that Jimmy Ward is heading to Houston. So there are still some things on their to-do list. They're only $2.3 million under the cap. However, they've only done one of their big restructures, which was Charvarius Moore's, which freed up $10 million. And they've got a couple of other possibilities. Fred Warner, Christian McCaffrey, another one that I'm forgetting. But there is opportunity to carve out a little bit more space. And then you mentioned Bosa. You know, actually, when they get the Bosa deal done, it might save a little bit, at least for this year. My question is, you're sort of, I mentioned Hargrave's deal being backloaded. You're pushing all of this to future seasons. And at some point, you're going to have to start paying your quarterback, whoever that quarterback is, quarterback money, because that rookie deal will have expired at that point. So I just wonder what it'll be like in 2025 and 2026 or down the road, whether the chickens will finally come home to roost, because they do seem to be kicking that can down the road every season.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Or as Les Snead would say, blank that year. That's what you would say. Blank 2025. How about the Rams now, by the way, dismantling everything? You'd hate to be the Niners doing that in a year or two. Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Okay, Matt, Sam Darnold, go. everything Sam, about it, Matty. Tell me everything I need to know.
Well, I mean, he's ostensibly the number three quarterback. But on this team, it's more like a two-plus because, you know, there's no Brock Purdy. He's not going to be available during the offseason. I'm skeptical that he'll be available for the first couple of weeks. I think maybe he returns to practice that first week of September, but he's got to get up to speed. Darnold might start the season as the number two. And then you've got Trey Lance and his injury history, and you don't have to look very far to realize that he broke his finger in the preseason a couple of years ago. So I think Sam Darnold is looking at this as, you know, even though I'm technically the number three guy, there's a good chance for me to play for this team. And there's a good chance for me to sort of repair my reputation with this team. You know, we saw this with Rosen a couple of years ago when he joined the 49ers.
Right.
Kind of thought that, okay, playing under Kyle Shanahan, worst thing that can happen is I spend a year sort of learning. But I think that the mere fact that you've spent time with Shanahan makes you more valuable. So he signed a 1-year deal, Darnold did, and becomes a free agent next year. And that'll be the question, whether he will be more desirable in 2024 after spending a season in the Shanahan offense.
Unbelievable. Matt Barrows is our guest on the Murph and Max show. And just, you know, the whole quarterback situation, Murph and I talk about it every day and how just confounding it is that they've got this all this talent on both sides of the ball, yet the one big question mark has been the guy standing under center and how often that's changed. So, first of all, I like your 2+ rating. That's good because I'm sure Murph said the same thing. Murph said, you know what? He will start a game next year, maybe more. So that being said, Matt, is it still the preferred option for the Niners to have Trey Lance as their number one guy, or has that changed? Has it become a situation now where Trey's kind of holding things down until Brock is ready to play again?
I mean, I think, you know, it'll all sort of play itself out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to last year, there was a transition. Trey Lance was going to take over for Jimmy Garoppolo. He was going to be the starter. So he went through the spring. He went through the preseason as the starter, and yep. He got high marks. I mean, I don't think people were blowing smoke, his teammates. I mean, he conducted himself like the starter. He handled all the press conferences. He was the top guy in practices. I mean, he wasn't lights out in the practices, but, you know, frankly, neither had, Jimmy Garoppolo hadn't been, perfect in those spring and summer drills either. He looked and acted and functioned like the number one quarterback. So I think if it's a repeat of last year, and there's no reason to think that it wouldn't be, you would actually think that he'd be a little bit better just from having had the experience. I don't think that there's any question that he's the week one starter. Because he did handle himself well in that exact same situation last year.
Well, there's so much going on, and we'll be talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. I do want to make mention of Jimmy Ward. I always enjoyed him. Anytime we had him on, liked talking to him. He's the longest tenured Niner. He's gone. I don't want to say bad blood. It doesn't even really matter. I mean, maybe he and Kyle had a little bit of beef on the way out. It doesn't really matter, I guess. But, you know, you talk about corners. Now, what are we looking at here? Emmanuel Mosley, is he back? Those guys they drafted, Ambry Thomas, Dima Lenore, of course, Tre'Davious Ward, et cetera. So just a little bit, Matt, of your thoughts on Ward's departure. And who is the longest tenured Niner now? Is it Juszczyk or Kittle or somebody like that?
It's Eric Armstead, who was drafted the year after Ward was brought in. Actually, you know, technically it's Dante Johnson. Who was the same draft
he's still
class
around?
As Jimmy Ward. Well, he went on IR.
Gosh.
He's technically still with the team today. He becomes a free agent tomorrow, so he won't be tomorrow. And we're talking about unbroken tenureship. Remember, yeah. Dante Johnson bounced around a couple of teams, the Seahawks, for example, a few years ago. So unbroken tenureship, we're looking at Eric Armstead, and then the next guy is Kyle Juszczyk because he was part of that free agency class back in 2017, and then the next month they drafted George Kittle. Robbie Gould also was part of that 2017 free agency class. He's interesting. We talked about this the other day. A couple of kickers have been signed. The Colts paid big money for Matt Gay. I've heard that the Cowboys are being a little bit stingy. They're not willing to pay big money for anybody, but like I said, I think it's the Cowboys or the 49ers for Robbie Gould.
And Jimmy Ward's departure leaves them where with the corners?
Well, I mean, luckily they've kind of cross-trained a couple of these guys, Sam Womack and Diamador Lenore, at both nickel and outside. So, remember, Emmanuel Mosley, let's just say that they re-sign him. He tore his ACL in October. So even if they did re-sign him, I don't think that it's automatic that he's ready to go on September 10 or whenever week one is. So it could be a situation where Diamador Lenore continues to start on the outside and it's Samuel Womack as the nickel. Emmanuel Mosley is back in full go, I think he plays on the outside and Diamador Lenore comes in and plays nickel. They're looking at a guy named Trey Herndon in free agency. They're competing with a couple of teams for him, but he's a possibility at either of those spots as well. So I think the idea of having given all of these guys, cross-training gives them some versatility. And, of course, there will be injuries at that position throughout the season. So There'll be some mixing and matching. But I think that they really like Lenore, and that was their thought initially when they drafted him in 2021, is that this guy has all the makings of a really good nickel. He had to play on the outside last season. He got a little bit better at it and was really good, actually, in the playoffs at that spot. So that's now an option. But I think if they had their druthers, they would move Lenore to the inside.
Interesting. Stuff to follow. Like I said, so much to follow. We're out of time. We didn't even hit McGlinchey or Jimmy G.
We need more. We need bonus Barrows.
Hey, you got to see something to Waterboy. Waterboy's a lifelong Raider fan. Followed him to Vegas. Like, he's just, like, totally blindly, cultishly following the Raiders, even though they leave him in the lurch.
But he's very standoffish about Jimmy G.
He's upset about Jimmy G. Says it's a notable downgrade from Derek Carr. Would
he
you
hasn't
agree?
Been seduced by the charms
Come
yet.
At him, Matty. Come at him.
Let him know, Matt.
Well, they're surrounding Jimmy G with some good weapons there. Jacoby Meyer, obviously Devontae Adams. I mean, Jimmy's going to have some guys to throw to. And he's got his old pass game coordinator as the head coach. So I think that's it's a nice landing spot. Ought to hit the ground running.
Hey.
I expect some nice numbers from Jimmy G in 2023.
Yeah, can you see the remake Ocean's 14 with Jimmy G?
Why not?
In like a sort of a sharkskin suit with no tie, kind of like two
I
buttons open.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? Great. That's
walking
fantastic.
By the fountain with Clooney.
Sitting
and,
by the blackjack table. Yeah.
Who are the other guys in that thing?
Clooney, you know, Matt Damon, all those dudes.
All those guys. Yeah. He could easily be on that poster for Ocean's 14.
Be more handsome than all of them put together.
Where Mark Davis is pulling the strings from his mansion. In there.
Yeah.
I love it.
There it is. We got a screenplay, Matty. Let's get going. All right. Hey, always great. We love it. Keep reading Matt in The Athletic. He's the guy. You got to read him in The Athletic because you got to subscribe to read Matty. So be good, Matt.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
There it is. Yeah, I think I just hit on it. Ocean's 14. Was the last one 13?
I'm not sure. It sounds right.
Was it Waterboy last
one? Because you went 11, 12, 13. How many can you do? But great call.
Him in front of the fountain on the movie poster, you know?
See, and there's a big difference. There's a distinction between, like, James Bond cool, where I'm bringing in, like, a Marcus Allen, a Javier Lopez. Like, I don't see Garoppolo, even though he's handsome. Like, he's not a James Bond cool. He's more of an Ocean's 11. Like,
Clooney-ish?
Yeah, dude.
With some riffs a little bit.
Well, he's at the stubble now. The shirt's
it's American versus British.
He'll show you the chest. Tear if he wants to.
Right.
You know,
I think we've done it all, Paulie.
Well,
we've
tried
it all.
Especially
we hand it over to Pop and Lund next. I heard you on the Sports Leader.
It's been a hell of a ride, guys. See ya.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.